NBC Radio will begin coverage of the events to take place tomorrow, Monday, November 25th, at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. This coverage will be continuous and will include the final Requiem Mass at St. Matthew's Cathedral in Washington, D.C., the funeral procession, and the burial of the late president in Arlington Cemetery. Tonight, immediately following a pause for station identification, NBC will present a half-hour interlude with Alexander Scourby and the musical work, The Testament of Freedom. We now pause 10 seconds for station identification.
This is WNBC AM and FM, New York.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Alexander Scourby.
We conclude this special program with a musical work entitled The Testament of Freedom. It is a setting of four passages from the writings of Thomas Jefferson by Randall Thompson. The words and the music came into being at crucial periods for the people of the United States of America, both in relation to their own survival as a nation and to their future role in world history. From the mind and the pen of Thomas Jefferson have come the underlying philosophical concepts of American democracy, concepts which found their most eloquent and far-reaching expression in the Declaration of Independence, of which he was the final author. The fourth passage in this work is Jefferson's letter to John Adams, written on September 12, 1821, at Monticello. I quote from that letter. I shall not die without a hope that light and liberty are on steady advance.
They're dedicated to the purposes of peace abroad and justice at home. President Kennedy, who was a young man confronted with towering responsibilities, he bore them with skill, imagination, determination, and birth. No one more vividly than he exemplified that grace under pressure which is held to constitute courage. No one of the present day has so caught the imagination and hopes of men and women throughout the world. With his tragic passing, we are poignantly aware of those objectives to which he had dedicated himself and which remain yet to be achieved. We in New Zealand look back with gratitude and admiration on the achievements of his 3 short years of leadership. Let us hope that in the future, world leaders may draw guidance from his example and his memory.
The Prime Minister of New Zealand, one of the many world leaders who have at this hour of tragedy for this country submitted their condolences and their feelings of respect for the late president. In many cases, men who argued and differed with the president during his lifetime and who now, as his body lies in state in the Capitol Rotunda, have nothing but the highest praise for him, which is a mark of the man. Prime Minister Nehru of India today described President Kennedy as a very good friend. Addressing his governing Congress party followers in Parliament in New Delhi, Nehru spoke with great feeling. During the address to the Parliament, he had to struggle visibly to keep his emotions under control. Nehru said, "Great as Mr. Kennedy was in his lifetime, he has become greater still in history by this martyrdom." Yesterday, Prime Minister Nehru described the assassination in Dallas on Friday as shocking, stunning, terrible, unimaginable, painful, and disastrous, the kind of description that most Americans and apparently most of the world feels tonight.
And in the aftermath of this terrible, terrible crime come threats from various sections of the country, in Dallas as well as in Atlanta. A series of telephone bomb threats broke out in Dallas today after accused assassin Lee Harvey Oswald was shot and killed. One threat delayed a Braniff Electra at Dallas Love Field. Another forced evacuation of the Good Shepherd Catholic Church in suburban Garland, Texas. Astronaut John Glenn, en route to Washington for President Kennedy's funeral, was aboard the plane. Police said someone telephoned both Braniff and the home of Dallas Mayor Earl Cabell, advising that the bomb was on the plane. Cabell and federal judge Sarah T. Hughes, who administered the oath of office to President Lyndon B. Johnson after President Kennedy died, had planned to take that plane. They decided to take a later flight. Glenn continued to Washington on it after a delay of about 45 minutes. A search, however, did not reveal any bomb, according to police. About 350 persons were evacuated from the suburban church during an afternoon mass. No bomb was found. After Oswald, charged with murdering the president, was gunned down in the Dallas City Hall basement car runway, the building was sealed off by police. A cordon ringed the building into the night as a downtown traffic jam developed in the area. All members of the Reserve Police Force were called to duty. According to Captain J.D. Nichols, a 36-year veteran of the police department, his statement, "I have never seen such a wild day in the city hall." And then this threat in Atlanta, the widow of a man killed in combat on John F. Kennedy's PT-109 during World War II, was under police guard today after receiving a threatening telephone call. Mrs. Jack Kirksky said that when the phone rang Saturday night, she thought it was someone trying to console her about the death of the president. "Are you the Kirksky connected with the Kennedys?" a man's voice asked. She said she was, and quoted the man as saying, "So you're a Negro lover, too. You'd better stay behind locked doors. We'll deal with you later."
In the crush of events since that rifle shot rang out about less than 59 hours ago, it seems more like 59 years ago, 59 hours ago in Dallas, Friday afternoon, so many things have happened that the events immediately surrounding the assassination of President Kennedy have almost been swallowed up in the great onrush of things that have happened, the sorrow and tragedy of his survivors, the swearing in of a new president, the difficulties that must ensue on that kind of an event, then the murder today of Lee Harvey Oswald, who was the prime suspect in the assassination of the president, that so many things have happened that we forget that before Lee Harvey Oswald was arrested, he killed another man, a policeman in Dallas, J.B. Tippit. He killed him as he was running into a theater, and Tippit apparently had at that time no indication whatever that Oswald had any connection with the president's assassination. The widow of the slain policeman, Patrolman Tippit, was interviewed in Dallas today by Bob Thornton for ABC.
This is Bob Thornton, and we're in the home of Mrs. J.D. Tippit. Patrolman Tippit was shot and killed while trying to apprehend the assassin of President Kennedy last Friday. This is the Tippit family, Mrs. Tippit, 5-year-old Curtis, 10-year-old Brenda, and 14-year-old Alan. Mrs. Tippit, how has all of this left you?
Well, at present, completely shaken. I just don't see how I can get along in any respect without him.
Well, I know your husband was a policeman, and a policeman's work naturally is dangerous. Did you at times discuss the danger of his work, the possibility of his leaving some morning and perhaps not returning?
Well, I think all police wives realize that, but you just certainly don't plan on it.
Do you feel any antagonism toward the person who did this?
Well, at present, the only thing I can think of is I've lost the one that we all needed so much, that we depended on so much for all the little decisions and love. And he just didn't hear anymore, and that's the only thing I feel right now.
And, of course, the man responsible has since lost his life. Do you feel that he got his just desserts?
That's hard to say. I never wished anybody dead in my life. I suppose so.
I understand you've had calls, letters, telegrams from throughout the country. Have you heard from the Kennedy family?
Yes, I have. Robert Kennedy called in behalf of Mrs. Kennedy. And also the president called.
What were some of the things they said?
Well, president called to express his sorrow. And to tell me that he thought that through the bravery of my husband being killed, that the assassin was, because the president was caught and through him giving his life, had he not, that he would possibly have gone free. that he was proud and hoped that other police departments would take notice of what he had done.
You've received many touching letters. We'd like to ask Alan, if he will, to read one of the letters you received from an 8-year-old scribble in his own handwriting.
It says, "Dear Mrs. Tippett, I'm sorry about Mr. Tippett. We hope you will be all right, and we are sorry about Mr. Tippett. Jerry, Tommy, and Mother, and Donnie. Love, Jerry."
How will you provide for your family?
No plans at all. I haven't the slightest idea what we'll do.
Thank you, Mrs. Tippett. This is Bob Thornton for ABC News.
Mrs. Tippett's remark that she hasn't the slightest idea what she will do reminds us that while a great man, a man of history, died on Friday afternoon, another man who was a small man, a man whose name will probably never enter a history book, but who was an important man to a wife and to a children, a man on whom those few people depended for everything, all decisions, all things that were important in their life, also died. 75 high-speed military aircraft will flash over Arlington National Cemetery tomorrow at just about the time that the late President John Fitzgerald Kennedy is being buried. This news was disclosed by the Federal Aviation Agency tonight. It issued a notice to airmen, people flying, to stay away from a 5-mile radius of the cemetery below an altitude of 5,000 feet from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time tomorrow. That's the approximate time that the burial services at Arlington Cemetery will be held. The former president is, as I say, going to be buried in the home of the unknowns, Arlington National Cemetery, sometime after 2 p.m. It was not known exactly what kind of planes are going to take part in the military flyover, but a spokesman for the Federal Aviation Agency said they would be fighter planes. The FAA announcement said the planes would be flying at 517 miles an hour at a height of 2,500 feet. Former Vice President Richard Nixon, deploring along with most Americans the events of today and of Friday in Texas, called on all Americans today to pledge ourselves to fight this tendency of hatred and violence we've seen in the last 2 days. Those last few words, a quote from the former vice president. Nixon, of course, was referring both to the assassination of President Kennedy and then to today's slaying of the president's accused slayer, Lee Harvey Oswald. He said all Americans want to see the president's killer brought to justice, but that we cannot help but deplore a man taking the law into his own hands.
The genuine warm human qualities, the kindliness of our departed president were known to many people. Many people who were fortunate to know him personally, others who knew him in political life, and those to whom he reached out and touched at an airport, at any meeting place, with a smile and with a shake of the hand. I recall that recently, on a recent visit to New York before this disaster, there was a newspaper article with reference to the fact that he asked for his motorcade to stop en route to Idlewild Airport. To emerge from the motorcade, at great risk, of course, to himself, to greet a few nuns who were standing nearby, to shake their hand, to smile, exchange a few pleasantries, and then return to the motorcade and pass on. And now, this human interest story from Albany, New York, where Sister Catherine Verissimo had planned to celebrate on her 100th birthday because she said she had waited so long for it. That day came today, but instead of celebrating, Sister Catherine sadly grasped a greeting card bearing the presidential seal and signed John F. Kennedy. The card arrived in the mail yesterday, one day after the president had been assassinated in Dallas. Sister Catherine kissed it immediately, reported another nun at the provincial house of the Roman Catholic Order of Sisters of St. Joseph of Carondelet. "People don't think too much about committing murder these days if it's convenient and to their advantage," the elderly nun remarked. "What must the world think of us?" she asked. "How can such a thing happen in the civilization we have today? We have so much more, so many luxuries and opportunities than ever before, yet this proves we are not living as well as we could." A very sad birthday for Sister Catherine.
And, of course, it will be a very sad birthday for John Kennedy Jr. and for Caroline Kennedy, who we saw today and listened to as they paid their last respects, along with their mother, to the memory and the body of their late father and Jacqueline Kennedy's husband, the late President John Fitzgerald Kennedy, anybody who heard the description or watched the description of the survivors of President John Kennedy stepping up to the casket in the Capitol Rotunda, Caroline and Mrs. Kennedy kneeling before the flag-draped casket and kissing the flag, could not help but be moved